And praise the Lord. Victory is ours on today. Amen. The Lord is high above the heavens. Amen. We're going to turn in our Bibles today to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. We're going to begin reading from verse number 36, and we're going to read down to verse number 50. So it's the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. We're going to read verse number 36 down to verse number 50.
Luke, what pastor again?
Luke, chapter 7.
Chapter 7.
And verse 36. And we're going to read down to verse 50.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at it together. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven.
Yeah.
For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Mm-hmm. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we come before you, God, praying your blessings upon us right now. We pray the blessing of revelation. We pray the blessing of wisdom. We pray the blessing, O God, of knowledge of your will for our lives. Father, we pray that you will speak through the word today, that you will bless us to hear your voice clearly, O God. And Father, we thank you right now, God, that you have a word, a message, O God, for us on this morning. Father God, right now we block out everything, every distraction, every care, every concern. And Father God, we focus our hearts and our attention on you.
Yes.
So Father, have your way in this place. We are fertile ground.
Yes.
Let the seed of the word of God be planted deeply within us.
Yes.
And let the Holy Spirit water that seed, that we may bring forth a bountiful harvest of praise and glory to your name. Father, we thank you right now for the word of God, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our title today is Forgiven, Grateful, and Blessed. forgiven, grateful, and blessed. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. As you know, we're standing here again. We had spoken earlier today about the fact that we're going through this series of unusual weather, or just quite frankly, the weather, and not just weather, amen, but it's just things going on in nature. We had an earthquake in Mexico. We had hurricane in the Houston area, now a hurricane in the Florida area, hurricanes in the Caribbean, amen, and tornado watches in Florida as well. And so we're just in sort of like a state of turmoil,
yeah,
and upheaval, at least in our environment. And, when we look at nature sometimes, amen, we still have to take away from that and ask ourselves sometimes, what does that mean spiritually? What does that mean? Is there any connection to what may be going on in our lives? And so, as we look at that, amen, we remain prayerful not only for the people who are affected, but we remain prayerful if God wants to speak something to us in the midst of all this. Amen. Because nothing happens by chance. Amen.
Amen.
And with that as sort of like, that's the context of where we are today, God is speaking a word that I pray we all will hear. Amen. Again, the title is Forgiven, Grateful, and Blessed. And, God gives us a two-step, so to speak, today. Amen. The first step, amen, is the story. And we're going to take some time to look at this story, which many of us have read before. Amen. So the first step is going to be the story, but the second step is more important, and that is the application of the story to our lives.
Yes.
How many of you know, if the Bible is not applied to our lives, then the Bible has no power.
Exactly.
Yes.
It is the Word of God, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, amen? But if the Word of God is not applied to our life, then there's no power for us.
Exactly.
And so we want to hear the story, we want to hear the Word, but we also want to get the application and then apply it, amen, so that we can be beneficiaries of the power contained in the Word.
Yes.
So let's go to the story first, amen. Jesus here is invited in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. He's invited to a Pharisee's house to eat. Amen. And we later learn that Pharisee is named Simon.
Yes.
And Jesus is invited in Simon's house, but there's someone who was uninvited, who just comes.
Yeah.
And it's this woman who lived in the city who Simon knew and other people knew was a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the scholars agree that she was a harlot. She was a prostitute.
Yes.
And she comes into the house, but she wasn't invited.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes into the house, we see in verse 37, she's a sinner. She knew that Jesus was there, and she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And it says in verse 38 that she stood at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment.
Mm-hmm.
That verse right there is important for us to see the picture. Because Jesus comes into the house, and he's eating. And if you think he's eating the way we eat, meaning, we sit at tables in chairs and we have utensils on the table, then this description makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you got to see, well, wait a minute. She's at his feet?
Yes.
What is she, under the table?
Yes.
No, she's not. Because you got to understand how the tables were back then. The tables were low. And the food was placed on the table, but when you came into the house to eat, there were pillows in front of the table, and you would lean on the pillow and recline on it, even your body, with one elbow propped up, and then you would take from the table, and eat, and your feet were behind you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, the feet are behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So the table is here, and the pillows are here, and the people who are eating are propped up on the elbows, sort of reclining forward, feet are behind them going toward the wall. And the woman is standing between Jesus' feet and the wall.
Yes.
Now, many times, servants would stand behind the guests in case they had to attend to something on the table. So in some ways, that woman comes in. She's uninvited, but she immediately occupies the place of a servant. Right? Immediately. Right? She doesn't come in thinking she belongs at the table.
Yes.
She doesn't come thinking who she is. Right? She comes in with a spirit of humility and immediately occupies the place of a servant.
Wow.
And so she's behind Jesus. Amen. And it says here that she's weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Now stop here and picture that for her to be able to wash dusty feet, because see, amen, no one was wearing Timberlands back then. No one was wearing, right? It wasn't socks and stockings and everything. They had on sandals and walking on dusty roads, and so their feet got dirty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so for her to be able to wash Jesus' dusty feet. And I know for some people, the idea that Jesus has dusty feet probably offends you. Get over it, amen. Jesus walked along the roads, amen.
Yeah.
He
amen.
He humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant, amen. He walked the roads, so his feet were dusty. And so for her to be able to wash Jesus' dusty feet with her tears, please understand how much this woman must have been crying.
Amen. Yes.
And she's crying so much, and she's producing so much in the way of liquid or water or tears, that she has to wipe his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So she's crying up a storm, and she's wiping her feet with her hair. And we have to stop there and say, wait a minute. If she's wiping her his feet with her hair, then her hair must be long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She ain't only no short crop hair. Amen.
Amen.
Her hair must be long.
Yeah.
And do you know, for women back then, just as for many women today, they take some pride in their long hair. It is a sign of some beauty and comeliness.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is taking something that is a source of beauty and pride and comeliness, and she's taking it to wash off some dusty feet. She's washing his feet and then drying it, wiping them with her hair. And she kissed his feet. Enough said about that, amen?
Mm-hmm.
You get that picture. She kissed his feet. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of you ever kissed a foot. I would venture to guess that not many of us go around kissing feet on a regular, amen?
Amen.
I've kissed some things in my life, but kissing a foot. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's kissing his feet. And she anointed them with ointment. Now, we just have to point out one thing real quickly. In Matthew, I think it's chapter 25, 26, and Mark, I believe it's around 14, and definitely in John chapter 12, there's another story, another account of Jesus being anointed with a woman with an alabaster box. That's not this woman.
Yes.
Because that anointing took place in Bethany at Simon the leper's house. That was really at the father of Lazarus.
Yes.
And it took place after Jesus had called Lazarus out of the tomb. And it was a few days before Jesus went to the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in that account, the story went on where the disciples were complaining about how the money could have been, perfume could have been sold for some money to give to the poor. That's a totally different account. This happens in Galilee. Man's name is Simon, but that Simon in Bethany was a leper. This Simon is a Pharisee. Amen.
Yeah.
Different account. Amen. Okay, so we see the picture, right? Jesus reclining at the table. The woman comes in, uninvited, occupies the place of a servant, and begins crying over Jesus' feet, wiping his feet with her hair, kissing his feet, and she anointed them with ointment. And the Pharisee who invited Jesus, he's looking at all this, and he doesn't say anything out loud. He says it to himself. He says, talking about Jesus, if he were a prophet, what he's really saying is, if he were really a prophet, because apparently all the Pharisees thought of Jesus was that he was a prophet.
Yes.
If he were a prophet, if he were really a prophet, he would know who this woman is, and he wouldn't let this woman touch him because she's a sinner. That's what he's thinking in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. At best, right, he's thinking about Jesus, right? He's thinking about Jesus as being, he doubted who Jesus was at worst. And at best, he only thought Jesus was a prophet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly didn't know and understand who Jesus was, because if he really knew who Jesus was, he would know, first of all, that Jesus knows what he's thinking. Amen. And second, he would know that Jesus most certainly would receive a sinner. So he's doubting Jesus, and he's underselling Jesus, thinking him only a prophet. And even that, he's doubting that he really is one.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, hearing this man have these thoughts in his heart, he answers Simon's thoughts in verse 40. And Jesus answering says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon says, go ahead, tell me. And Jesus tells Simon a story. And the story is of two debtors. One who owes a creditor 500, let's just call it dollars, or amen, $500. The other one owes 50. And it was much more than that, amen, because this 500, it says here, 500 pence, was about a year and a half worth of a common laborer's wages.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half. Mm-hmm. 500, right? So there's a lot of money. One owes 500, the other owes 50. And Jesus makes the point. Neither one of them could pay the creditor.
Right.
But both of them are forgiven by the creditor. And Jesus says, tell me, Simon, which one of these two men, these two, would love that creditor the most? And Simon says, the one who has been forgiven most.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you're absolutely right. And then Jesus turns to the woman, but he speaks to Simon.
Mm.
Hmm? The woman's behind him, and he turns to the woman. He's talking as he's looking at the woman at his feet, but he's talking to Simon. And he says to Simon, and he starts to make a comparison. He compares this religious, synagogue-going leader to this sinful prostitute, this girl from around the way.
Yes.
He starts to compare the two. Now, some people will say there's no comparison between Simon and some prostitute, but Jesus looks at the woman and now begins to make a comparison between Simon and her. And here's the comparison. He said, do you see this woman? We're in verse 44. He said, I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that having water for your guests' feet, because of the dusty roads of the time, was a common courtesy that was extended to guests.
Yeah.
And he said, you didn't even extend me a common courtesy. Wow. You gave me no water for my feet. But this woman, she washed my feet with her tears and she wiped them with her hair.
Yes. Yes.
He's still looking at the woman. He says, you gave me no kiss. And how many of you know a kiss was just a common greeting?
Yes.
Amen. A common greeting when someone came into your house. You didn't give me a kiss. He said, but this woman, from the time I came in, was kissing my feet.
Yes.
So she didn't just kiss his feet. She was kissing his feet from the time Jesus walked in. And he said, Simon, you didn't even give me the common courtesy of a greeting of a kiss. He said, my head, you didn't even anoint with oil. And when you had a guest in your house, one of the ways that you would show honor unto him or her is that you would anoint their heads with oil. That's why Psalm 23 and 5 says, you know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil.
Yeah.
See, that's something that you would commonly do to a guest to show honor to that guest.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you didn't even anoint my head with oil.
Mm.
But watch what he says here. Don't miss this. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment.
Mm.
He doesn't use the same word. What's he saying? Because see, oil, Jesus is saying, you didn't even use common oil to anoint me. And yet this woman is using expensive, fragrant oil to anoint my feet.
Mm. Mm.
You couldn't even give me the common stuff. And she's anointing my feet with the good stuff.
Yes. Wow.
So what's the point? His point is this. He says, so Simon, to answer that question that's going on in your heart. See, because you have stuff going on. How can he allow this woman to answer the question that is going on in your heart, to answer the question as how it is that I would allow this woman to touch me. He says, her sins, which indeed are many, are forgiven. And he says, because of that, she loved much. She loved much because she's been forgiven. The love didn't bring about the forgiveness. The forgiveness brought about her love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
She, her sins are forgiven, and because of that, she has shown me much love.
Mm.
Mm.
But to whom little is forgiven.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
But to whom little is forgiven. What he's saying is, for those who believe, they have little for which they need to be forgiven. For those who believe that there's such a thing as big sin, little sin. For those like you, Simon.
Jesus, Jesus.
You only love little. And that's why you did little more than invite me to your house. And refuse to give me even the most common of courtesies.
Wow.
Because you think that you have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman knows that she doesn't.
Yes.
Both of you stand in the need of forgiveness.
Yes.
But she knows that she has a lot to be forgiven for, and you are under the mistaken impression that you have a little to be given for, and somehow there's a difference in that.
Amen.
But understand, you're just like the creditors and or the debtors there. One owed 500, the other owed 50. But did you hear what I said? Neither one of them could pay.
Wow.
Yes.
So they both stand in the same place, even though they owe different amounts.
Woo. preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Now he spoke to the woman. Mm. And he said, your sins are forgiven.
My God.
Amen. And then Simon's guests, it said, they that sat at meat with him, they began to say within themselves, it must be something about these Pharisees that they have things that they want to say, but they just keep it to themselves. Because now they don't even speak out loud either. Right. Simon didn't speak out loud, and they didn't speak out loud, but they're thinking some stuff. And they're thinking, who does this man, talking about Jesus, who does he think he is? That he can forgive sins also.
Jesus.
And Jesus just looks to the woman, ignores them. Amen. He knows what they're thinking. He continues looking at the woman. And he says to her that her faith in him. Amen. Her faith in him has saved her. And then he says, now go in peace. Amen. Go in peace. Go in peace of heart. Go in peace of mind. Go in peace of conscience. Go forward with your life. No longer be troubled. No longer be hindered. No longer be ashamed of your past. Yeah. Go forward in peace. Rejoice in your blessing. And allow your gratitude to continue to lead you to a life of love and service.
Yes.
Because she was already displaying that, amen, that she would do anything. She'll come in the midst of a crowd where people talk about her, and she won't be embarrassed, and she's still going to serve the Lord no matter what people say.
Amen.
Jesus said, you go in peace, and you continue doing that, being grateful, amen. You're forgiven. Now go and be grateful, be blessed, love other people, serve other people. Because you understand something that this Pharisee doesn't. So now we look at this, and that's the story. But what's the application? Well, some of us, and when I say us, I'm just talking generally, amen? Some of us are the woman. There are some who are living a life and you are in need of salvation. And the only one who can save you is the same person who saved this woman. And that's Jesus. And watch this. And just like that woman didn't need a special invitation. You don't need a special invitation to sit at Jesus' feet and ask for your forgiveness. This woman was an uninvited guest. But if you're like this woman, you don't have to wait for some formal invitation to come from you, to come to you from heaven, because you are always invited at the Master's feet. You can come at any time, any day of the week, any hour of the day, you can come to Jesus. You don't have to wait until you get yourself together. You don't have to wait until you get a new suit. You don't have to wait until you get a new dress. You don't have to wait until you can get your hair done. You can come uninvited, just as you are, with people talking about you, telling you you don't belong there, and you can come there and be at Jesus' feet, and he will welcome you. The only thing you need to do is to come.
Amen.
Amen. That's all you need to do. Let the people murmur in their hearts. Let the people snicker. Let the people point fingers. Let the people talk about you all they want. But you ignore them and come.
Amen.
Receive your forgiveness and enter into a life of peace, a life of love, a life of joyful service to God and to others, because that will be yours once Jesus cleans your slate.
Yeah.
Because once you receive forgiveness, you are going to be so grateful that you will lead a life of love and service to other people as a way of saying thank you unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Some of you are like that woman. Don't wait for the invitation. You just need to come.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
Some of us, and again, I'm speaking generally, amen. I'm not talking to anybody who's hearing me necessarily right now, but I'm talking to you who are hearing me right now.
Amen, amen.
Some of you, amen, some of us are Simon the Pharisee. Mm-hmm. We go to church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We may be part of the leadership.
Yep.
We may be part of the religious establishment. We believe that we are in the family of God. And we may even be saved. Mm-hmm. But, like Simon the Pharisee, we believe we're good people.
Uh-oh.
And that I don't have much of a sin problem. And because of that, if I don't have much of a sin problem, I don't have much of a need for a forgiveness solution.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And therefore, as Jesus says,
Jesus,
to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
Yes.
So because of that, those who are like Simon the Pharisee love little. Mm-hmm. And are unable to extend even. And you can't even extend the most common courtesies to people.
Jesus. Let's say it.
You can't even say thank you when someone opens the door for you. Or
Lord Jesus.
You can't even return someone's phone call.
Jesus.
Just common courtesies.
Wow.
You can't even let me in when you see me trying to get out of the parking lot, even though the light is red and you ain't going nowhere. You can't even extend the common courtesies.
Wow.
Because see, you think you all that.
Yes.
And if you think you're all that, then you don't believe Jesus needs to do all that much for you. Mm. And so therefore, you actually love little.
Wow.
Jesus said to the woman who knew she had a problem, go in peace. She now is going forward with a life of peace that was her blessing. Because she received the forgiveness from the Lord. But instead of having a life of peace like Simon and his friends, you grumble in your heart. Always murmuring and judging other people.
Wow.
And like Simon, you really don't know who Jesus is. He thought Jesus was just a prophet. And then when the woman came in, he said, I don't even think you're that. He undersold Jesus. He undervalued who Jesus was.
Wow.
He undervalued what Jesus can do in his life.
Yep.
Don't even know who Jesus is. Undervalue the gift of salvation. Undervaluing the gift of forgiveness. And because of that, very little gratitude and very little joy.
Mm-hmm.
But whether you're the woman or you're Simon, whether you're a person who owes 500 pence or 50 pence, the bottom line is we all are carrying a debt that we can't pay.
Amen. That's right.
Every last one of us. So if you think you're Simon and you only owe a little bit, whatever little bit you think you owe, you don't have enough to pay God.
Amen.
You don't have enough. And so even the worst sinner over in the corner, amen, you and he, you and she stand in the same place. Because neither one of you can satisfy the requirement for the sin that exists in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
The Bible says the wages of sin
is death.
That's Romans 6 and 23 if you want to look it up. That means the payment for sin. Sin has wages. Sin receives payment. And the payment for sin is death. But that payment has been satisfied through the death of Jesus on the cross. And he's the only one who can pay it. He paid it that you and I, that Simon and the woman, can live. So, praise God, amen, we have an answer to our sin problem.
Yeah.
The answer is not that you don't have any sin, amen. The answer is not denying that you have sin. The answer is in rejoicing that God, through Jesus Christ, provided an answer to our sin problem.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
So, if you're the woman, wherever you are, come to Jesus today, amen, and receive your forgiveness.
Amen, amen.
Come today, amen. Don't fall for the devil's trick that time is on your side.
Amen, praise the Lord.
I've come to realize that time is neutral. That means time is on nobody's side.
That's right.
Time just moves, and it moves the same for you as it does for me. It moves the same for the rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, or the thief. It doesn't matter. You got the same amount of time as I have, and no one has more time than you. 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, that's all we have. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour. Nobody has more time than anybody else.
Amen. That's right.
And time is on nobody's side. But we started by saying something, that God is speaking to us in the context of what's going on around us. The earth, I was saying this to my wife yesterday, the earth and all of creation right now, if you're paying attention, you see the word coming to life, amen, that because Paul talked about this in Romans, how the earth and all of creation are groaning and travailing in pain.
Yes.
These earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes, amen.
Yes.
The earth is groaning and travailing in pain.
Yes.
There's these forces that are seeming to say to those who are listening that there's a growing urgency in the spirit realm. And so it would be a mistake to believe that you have more time.
Mm-hmm.
You have more time. It would be a mistake. And that's why Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, now is the accepted time.
Yes.
Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
And the writer of Hebrews, he quoted Psalm 95 when he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So listen, if you're the woman, you need to get going today.
Yes.
Amen. Just come unto the Lord today. Don't waste time. Amen. There's all kinds of craziness going on around you, and time is not guaranteed, and time is not on your side. Do it today. But oh, if you're Simon,
yes.
If you're Simon and you're already in the family of God, or you think you are, you still need to humble yourself before the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to stop trying to get at the seat of position and being at the front of the table.
Yes.
And maybe you need to take and occupy the place of a servant.
Jesus.
Yes.
Stop it. Stop trying to be the big man on campus. Stop trying to be all that. You know, stop telling people that in order for you to come speak at their church, they got to give you an honorarium. They got to put you and your people up in a hotel. The sheets have to have certain number of threads on them. When I get to the hotel, I need some flowers. And not only that, I need certain water. And don't give me Poland Spring.
Jesus.
I need some Evian water and have the stomach.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop
madness.
Take the position
of a servant.
Of a servant.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I said to my wife this week, and sometimes I just, praise God, my wife knows me because she just knows that boy crazy. Because I just say stuff out of my head. And then, like, I just walk by and I just will come up with something. Like, because it just pops into my head. I was ironing my clothes, and I said to her, I said, what do you think Jesus thinks about how all the people who are preaching the gospel in his name need all these special accommodations? There was nothing like that in the Bible. You didn't see Jesus saying, well, before I can come to Capernaum, you're going to have to give me. You didn't see him saying none of that. He wasn't saying, I need this, I need that, I need this. And he's the Lord.
Amen.
And here the servants of the Lord have the nerve to make all these demands before they can preach his gospel?
Wow.
Oh, we need to check ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't see Jesus on the way he needed before he can come into the church.
Amen.
Before he can come into your house. Before he...
Better tell it. Amen.
So if you're Simon, we need to realize all have sinned.
All. Even you.
And come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
So if you're saved, Simon, you still miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You still sin. Sometimes. Which means you need the Lord's forgiveness too.
Yeah.
Now, you may not need the Lord's forgiveness for salvation because you already are saved. But you do need the Lord's forgiveness so that your fellowship can be restored.
Yeah.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We read it now in our bulletin today. It was our confession. 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
Amen.
And tucked in between is this promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You're saved, but why do you still need forgiveness? Why do you still need cleansing? So that you can have your fellowship restored.
Yeah.
So that you won't be afraid to come boldly before the throne of grace when you need to obtain mercy and find grace to help you in a time of need.
Yeah.
So that you can be in a position that you can still hear the Father when he speaks with his still small voice.
Yes, yes.
We need to maintain our fellowship with God. And how many of you know, sin will kill our fellowship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So even if you're Simon and you've been saved, you still need to be forgiven because all sin, and if you say you do not sin, the word of God says you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. Amen. So what does that mean? That means everybody needs Jesus.
Everybody.
Amen. Everybody needs Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So either way you look at it, whether you're the woman or you're Simon, whether you owe 500 or you owe 50, we all need God's forgiveness.
Amen.
And the good news is that his forgiveness is right there. It's ours anytime. Just for the asking.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And so I stand here before you today, man, and I can say, praise God. And I know you can say it too. I'm forgiven, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. Amen. I'm forgiven, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. And you, so I don't worry about people murmuring about me because, like, listen, I know I don't have it all together.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you can point at me and talk about things I've done, things I do, things I used to do, things I did. You can even make up some stuff on me. Yeah. I really don't care. Amen. Because I know that no matter what, I need the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed to say that. Yes. I need the Lord. Amen. I need his forgiveness. Amen. I need his mercy.
Yes.
I need his compassion. Amen.
Praise God.
I need the Lord.
Amen.
And so do you. Whether you're Simon or you are this unnamed woman. Amen. We all need God.
Amen.
So I just hear the Lord. Amen. He's just saying unto us. Amen. In the midst of all this chaos that's going on. Amen. Let us stay focused on the main thing. Amen. If you're outside the family, time to get in the family.
Time to get in.
Time to get in the family. Amen. Jesus, arms are open wide right now.
Amen.
Amen. His arms are open wide.
Yes, it
is. Amen. You may be like the prodigal son. You out there in riotous living.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Spend all your inheritance.
Amen.
Amen. Ended up in a pig pen. That means you is a mess.
Yes.
But all you got to do is come to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like the prodigal son and say, why should I continue to live in this mess?
Yes.
And here's the answer. You don't have to continue living in the mess. You can get out of the mess right now today by just simply saying, that's it. I'm done. I'm giving my life to the Lord.
Amen.
I done tried living my way. I done, I've done all the stuff. And you know what? It's leading me to nowhere. And I'm coming to the Lord today to give him my life. Amen.
Yes.
And if you've already given the Lord your life, Simon. Now, I'm giving Simon more credit than he deserves. Amen. But he was a Pharisee who didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to bring it up into today in the fact that if you believe you don't need the Lord today because you're already saved, let's say you are saved, you still need him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
And you're not perfect.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Let's drop the pretense. You're not perfect.
Amen.
Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Christian doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't.
Amen.
It doesn't.
Yes.
It just means you're a Christ follower.
Amen.
Amen. And you're a Christ follower in need of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good thing. It's an empowering thing. It's a liberating thing.
Yes.
Amen. It's a liberating thing. I make mistakes. I miss it. But guess what? His grace is sufficient for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
That's Amen. So we praise God on today, amen.
Amen.
I pray, amen, that I praise God for those of you here who are forgiven, grateful, and blessed. And let's see if we can expand that number, amen.
Amen.
There's some people out there right now, amen. Come and enjoy, amen, what it means to be forgiven, grateful,
and blessed.
Amen. Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad. That Jesus lifted me, amen, lifted me out of the miry clay. Father, we give you praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you thanks. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your precious gift of forgiveness.
Yes.
Father, you said in your word that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That sins can be washed away only through the shedding of blood. Jesus loved us so much that he shed his blood on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
And now our sins have been washed away.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. We thank you, O God, for the gift of your forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God, and we are so grateful unto you that you have blessed us with a life of peace and of joy, of strength, O God, because we have come before you to receive your gift of forgiveness, of a second chance, a new start,
yes.
a clean
yes,
slate.
Father.
And Father, we are mindful right now, God, that there are people in our midst, there are people in our families,
yes,
there are people in our circles of influence,
yes,
people on our blocks,
in our
schools, at work, oh God, who need to know the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Father, we're praying, oh God, you said that, oh God, that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Father, we're praying that you will send laborers into the harvest.
Yes,
for those who don't know you, oh God. And Father, count us among the number.
Lord, in the name.
Use us, oh God. Fill our mouths with a word of salvation, a word of encouragement, a word of hope that we can share with someone in our sphere of influence, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That God, that they may come unto you.
Yes.
Come unto the Lord Jesus and surrender their lives. Hallelujah. Receive the forgiveness of their sins.
Hallelujah.
And be called into the family of God. Father God, you said that we are to redeem the time.
Yes.
And Father God, we want to be about the Father's business the same way Jesus was about the Father's business.
Yes.
And your business declares that you do not want anyone to perish.
Yes.
And so, Father, we just thank you right now, oh God, that we are saved, that we are forgiven, that we are blessed.
Yes,
and Father God, we desire that others will experience the same joy of thy salvation.
Yes,
so Father, we're praying now that you will use us and that you will use and empower others to go into the harvest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That you, oh God, may expand your family. And Father, we bless you and thank you for what you are doing. We're believing someone's being saved today.
Right.
We're believing, oh God, glory to God, that someone, oh God, is hearing this even now, oh God, and saying, that's it, I had enough, I'm not trying anymore in my own strength, I am turning it over to Jesus. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that someone right now is just saying, that's it, I had enough. Hallelujah. I don't care if people talk about me. I'm going to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you right now that the alcohol is put down in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, oh God. Hallelujah. That addictions are breaking right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. That people are turning around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No longer walking toward the darkness, but now being drawn to your marvelous
light.
We thank you, God. Hallelujah. That salvation this day has come to this house. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. And may you continue that work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the rest of this day, the rest of this week, may you continue that work until Jesus comes. And we just give you the praise for allowing us to be a part of it. Grant us your wisdom that we may be used of you even the more. And Father, we just thank you for your gift of salvation.
Yes.
To you we give the praise.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.